In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Well, I just enjoy myself. I love the presence of the Lord. I love what God can do in a moment in His presence that we can't accomplish in a lifetime. But at the hand of God and in the anointing and the power of His presence, amen, that breaks every yoke, that brings healing, that brings restoration, that renews our spirit and renews our mind, amen. Hallelujah. Day by day, daily, our mind is renewed by His presence and by His anointing. I, for one, would not want to go one day without the anointing or the presence of God in my life. Amen. When David began to cry out, he said, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And renew a right spirit within me. David knew that no matter what else happened, Brother John, if I have His Spirit, if I have His anointing, if I have His presence in my life, I can get where I need to be. I can do what I need to do. And I can receive what I need to receive. Cast me not away from your presence, Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Renew, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And renew a right spirit in me. That is a psalm that I might say I have quoted to myself many times. Hallelujah. Lord, renew my spirit. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we started talking about it's the new year. Amen. We're in 2014. How many remember when we were getting ready to go through Y2K? Was that yesterday? Seemed like it was yesterday. Amen. And so it seems to me like it was yesterday. And here we are in 2014. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the Lord gave me the scripture last week out of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it's a scripture where David has been away with his 600 mighty men, and when he comes back, the enemy had come in and had taken captive the wives, the children, the possessions, their treasures, and had taken everything that they had and had carried it away and had burned their city. But how many know David? And they were about ready to stone David, and David got on his face before God, and he said, God, what shall I do with this situation? Shall I pursue my enemy? Should I go after them? What should I do? And God spoke to David, and he said, "Without thou shalt go in and pursue them, and without fail recover all." Hallelujah. How many are ready for God to recover everything that seems like it has been carried away by the enemy? And I declare over 2014 that it is a year where we begin to see the restoration of those things that seem like have been carried away from us. I'm done with families being carried away. I'm done with our children being carried away. I'm done with our possessions being carried away. I'm done with what was purchased, what was designed and purposed to be ours, not stepping into it and grabbing a hold of what is ours. Amen. And so he said to them, go in and pursue them, and without fail recover all. Hallelujah. And so I believe we are in a without fail season. We are in a recover all season. And I believe God wants to renew and restore and rebuild and refresh some things. Amen. Hallelujah. I may believe it's a finished work. Amen. And in that finished work of the cross of Calvary, we realize that we have accessibility to things in our life. We have a right to some things. We talked last week about if you were to get an inheritance, if I was to get an inheritance and it was to be deposited in my bank account, somebody deposited $100,000 in my bank account and they failed to tell me it was there and I did not get notification that it was there, I would not know that I have the right to that money. But if somebody says to you, Pastor Lisa, you got $100,000 in your account at your disposal, you have every right to withdraw on what's been deposited there. This girl is going to draw out some funds that's been deposited in that account. Amen? Hallelujah. Because I know now that I have access to that. I want to tell you this morning, you have access to the Father. You have access to everything that Jesus paid for you on the cross of Calvary. Yep. Amen? How many believe healing was paid for? Yep. How many believe your salvation was paid for? Yep. Hallelujah. How many believe your destiny was paid for? Yep. Hallelujah, your purpose. Hallelujah. And I believe sometimes the only thing that keeps us from stepping into what God has for us is our own limitations of our own mind. Amen. Sometimes it's our own limitations. We fail to believe we can sometimes. Or we either don't believe we can, or because we're living in the past and still dwelling on things that are behind, that it so clouds us from going forward to where we need to be. Amen. I mean, no, sometimes it's not necessarily our failures that keep us from moving forward as much as it is our regrets. Amen? How many know regret can be an awful thing if you live and you reside in regret? And sometimes it's not the act of what you've done that holds you so much as prisoner as much as it is the regret that we live with in that. And what I mean by that, regret is sorrow over either something that has been done or a mistake that has happened that kind of holds you captive in that, something maybe you wished that you hadn't done. But how many know regret's not always about what you've done or wished you hadn't done? I mean, sometimes regret is about what you wished you had. The regret of what you wished you would have done sometimes is just as bad as the regret of what you wished you hadn't done. I wished I wouldn't have said that. I wished I wouldn't have acted in that way. I wish I would, you know, so we can live in regret if we choose to. But here, what I want to come to tell you this morning is the greatest antidote, the greatest healing of regret is repentance and forgiveness. Hallelujah. How many are thankful this morning for the power of forgiveness? Hallelujah. The scripture says in Psalms 103, I believe it is, as far as the east is from the west, what? I will remember your sins no more. How far is the east from the west? Hallelujah. I mean, when Jesus went to Calvary, he stretched one hand to the east, and he stretched one hand to the west. And he said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I'm thankful this morning for the drawing of the Holy Spirit. That when he reached out his hands, he began to draw all men unto himself. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, he's not just talking about being lifted up like we come in today to lift up the name of Jesus. He's talking about when I'll be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. When I accept the final judgment, when the gavel falls for the last time, when I pay in full every debt that Adam ever cursed man with, everything that man has ever been subject to until this time, every thief on both sides that would try to deceive us, to make us think we're not worthy or make us think that we don't have a right to it, every thief, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. How many are thankful this morning that you have been drawn unto him? Hallelujah. And so the greatest healing for regret is repentance and healing. I mean, no, you can live in a place of regret that will so obscure your vision of what tomorrow may bring that it literally will handicap you from stepping into the purpose of what God wants in your life. I mean, as saints, as believers, as those who are forgiven, as Christians, if you want to label them that way, how many know we do not have to live in yesterday's sorrow? That ought to get a shout out of here. You do not have to live in yesterday's troubles, yesterday's failures, yesterday's regrets, or yesterday's sorrows. I mean, no, today's a brand new day. Lamentations said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. That was a lullaby that I sang to my girls when they were babies. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Aren't you thankful for the mercies of God that are new every morning? Hallelujah. Today is a brand new day. Hallelujah. If you want to go ahead and put up Titus for me this morning, Carlin, I'm not sure how far we'll go on this or how much we'll get into, but that's all right. I really feel like the Holy Ghost already spoke this morning, so I'll just say amen to what the Holy Ghost is already saying, and we'll just move on, all right? Titus 3:3 out of the Amplified says, "For we also were once thoughtless and senseless, obstinate and disobedient, deluded and misled. We too were once slaves to all sorts of cravings and pleasures, wasting our days in malice and jealousy and envy, hateful, hated, detestable, and hating one another." My, oh my. Amen. But, verse 4. I need 3-5, I believe it is. Actually, 3-8, I believe it is. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior to man, as man, appeared, he saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy by the cleansing bath of the new birth, regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you happy for the cleansing of the new birth bath? Hallelujah. How many in here have experienced new birth today? Hallelujah. Sister Wilda was talking about water situation. I mean, you don't miss a bath near as bad till you can't have one or it's not accessible to you. Hallelujah. Pastor Jeff and Jackie were talking about being out of water, but they were fortunate enough to be able to go next door and get water from family that had a well, because they have, I guess, the city water and sewer, and they said they were doing that kind of bath where you were worst possible. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Dolly Parton and them said they used to take a bath and said they would wash down as far as possible, up as far as possible, and then nobody else was looking, then you washed possible. Hallelujah. I mean, we're glad for the bath of the Holy Spirit that washes us from head to toe. I mean, I've experienced that bath of the baptism of the power of God, that when you were buried, you were washed with him in baptism. You were buried with him and you were resurrected into new life. Old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. The washing of the water by the word, the cleansing bath, which he poured out so richly upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he did it in order that we might be justified by his grace, by his favor, wholly undeserved. Everybody say undeserved. Undeserved. It was his undeserved favor that we might be acknowledged and counted as conformed to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, and that we might become heirs to eternal life according to our hope. Verse 8. This message is most trustworthy, and concerning these things, I want you to insist steadfastly so that those who have believed in, trusted in, relied on God may be careful to apply themselves to honorable occupations and to doing good, for such things are not only excellent and right in themselves, but they are good and profitable for the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and do 2 Corinthians for me. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10. Yet I am glad now, not because you were pained, but because you were pained into repentance and so turned back to God, for you felt a grief such as God meant you to feel, so that in nothing you might suffer loss through us or harm for what we did. For godly grief and the pain God is permitted to direct produce a repentance that leads and contributes to salvation and deliverance from evil. It never brings regret. Everybody say regret. But worldly grief, the hopeless sorrow that is characteristic of the pagan world, is deadly, breeding and ending in death. Hallelujah. How many know repentance through God, his dealings in our life, never brings regret? It really never even brings blame. It does not bring sorrow. Hallelujah. I mean, the dealings of God in our life. I love the scripture out of Matthew. It says, "A bruised reed he will not break, A smoking flax he will not put out until he send forth judgment unto victory. How many are glad today that the judgment has been unto victory? The judgment has been in your favor. See, we talk about judgment of God like it's a bad thing, but how many know the judgment of God was in your favor because Jesus took your judgment to the cross? And when the gavel fell, the bill said, paid in full. Hallelujah. So the price was paid for you. The judgment is in your favor, and you have been judged righteous now because of the grace and mercy of God that you wholly did not deserve. The scripture said the unmerited favor of God now resides on your life because he stood in judgment for you. Yes. Psalm said the judgments of the Lord are sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Hallelujah. More be desired than fine gold. How many know the judgment of God in our life means he was judged guilty for me? I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Everybody say paid in full. Hallelujah. Paid in full means the debtor can no longer come back to you and say, look, you still owe me this bill because I've got a bill of sale, a receipt that says paid in full. Hallelujah. And so the enemy has no power, no place in our life. And we do not have to live in yesterday's sorrow, but we can live in today's freedom. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Hallelujah. As I was thinking about that, and the Lord was kind of speaking to me along this line. Somebody had said, what you did or didn't do does not matter nearly as much as what God did and didn't do. He did give his son. He did not spare him so that he could give him up to us so that we might be forgiven of our sins. How many know what you did or did not do is not more powerful than what God did in Christ? What you have done in Adam is not more powerful than what God has done in Christ. Hallelujah. And so we have an advocate now with the Father, Christ Jesus, that we do not have to live in a place of regret. We do not have to live in a place of sorrow over that. I mean, no, sometimes you can have memories of things, but when it's under the blood, it's under the blood. Yep. Amen? I mean, no, regret is a waste of time and energy. Regret often repeat, people who are living in regret often repeat the thing that they're regretting or spend more time focusing on that than they do focusing on what's next or the next step. Amen? Regret helps no one. Who's more likely to be more cheerful or more useful, the man who lives in the present or the man who lives in the past? Regrets can paralyze and poison your present. He who lives in the past is dead to today. The soul stung by the mistakes he made a long time ago will be sick and sickening in the present. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes it's not so much even what has been in our history as much as it is our regret of some of those things. So I'm thankful today for the power of the Holy Spirit, his presence, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that what's covered under the blood is covered under the blood. Amen. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers our sins no more. Now, I was thinking about a man in the scripture. He pretty much was a failure as a son. He was pretty much a failure as a brother. He was pretty much a failure as a husband. And he came to a place that he was living, you know, in a place of regret. He was living in a place of transition. Go ahead and bring up Genesis 32, chapter for me, Carlin. If you have your Bibles and want to turn there, we're going to talk about this fellow. Anybody know who I'm talking about this morning? Jacob. Heard somebody say Jacob. Jacob. Hallelujah. And so how many know Jacob is in a place where he has left his father because he tricked him? He took the birthright from his brother. So he's been kind of a failure as a son. He's been a failure as a brother. He gets down into the house of Laban. He gets him a couple wives, a couple concubines. There's all kinds of turmoil and trouble and stress there. He gets into odds with his family, Laban, and he's on his way to meet Esau, his brother. How many know the scripture says in Genesis 32, verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. I love that scripture because every time we go on our way, the angels of God meet up with us. Amen? Anybody tried to go your own way or do your own thing only to find out there is only one way? Once. All right. Once is enough. Amen? Anytime you think you want to go your own way or do your own thing, how many know God is faithful to send the angels of the Lord to meet up with you? And when I say that by the angels of the Lord, that might be the clerk behind the counter at Walmart. That might be somebody you run into along the way. That might be somebody that you think by chance you may have run into them today only to find out that God gave them a word of the Lord for you today. And you know you're not in this place by chance. You're not here by circumstance. But God had a divine moment or divine encounter for you to find out, you know, this isn't by chance that this happened in my life. The angels of God met me on my way. Hallelujah. That's what I love about the body of Christ, that even though when we think that maybe we have gone out too far, we feel like we are disconnected, how many know there's somebody somewhere in the body of Christ that's hearing from God, that God will bring us together in an encounter that maybe can pray with us or maybe speak a word of life over us or encourage us in something in the Word, in the Scriptures, or in our life, and only to find out, God, this wasn't a happening, this wasn't by chance that you sent me here, but you had this purpose and you had it destined, amen, for this time and for this place in this season in my life. There have been times in my life where I've gone, thought I was going and had plans and was going and heading there to do them, only to find out God changed my plans, put me in a place where I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit for somebody and knew beyond a shadow of a doubt God orchestrated my steps. I mean, no, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Do we have any righteous men in here today? Oh, I said, do we have any righteous men in here today? I just told you, you're not righteous by your own merit or by your own faith. You are righteous because He has made you right. He has put you in right standing with Him. Everything that He did through the work of the cross put you in right standing. Therefore, that makes you the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore, if you are the righteousness of God in Christ, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. You might think you're going your own direction only to find out God has placed you in a place for a time and a season to bring anointing. Hallelujah. Probably some of the regrets I would have in my life are times when I was in a situation where I felt God dealing with me or speaking to me to pray for somebody or to witness to somebody, and I just didn't know if it was the right time or the right place or if I'd make them uncomfortable, and I missed that opportunity. And so I regretted not doing something and only to say, God, send somebody by, because you won't miss a moment. I might have missed a blessing, but you won't miss a moment to minister to somebody. But I'm telling you, sometimes you may just be standing there and something occurs to you and said, you know what, I need to pray for that person, or I need to speak life to that person, or I just need to hug that person. I just need to stop long enough to look that person in the eye and let them know I'm thinking about them. I care about them today. Hallelujah. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. How many know there's power in our words? Good or bad. There are power in your words. You can say negative things that can stick with people for a very long time. Or you can choose to say positive things that will stick with people for a very long time. How many know the power of life and death is in our tongue? Not only to other people, but to yourself. How many know sometimes you got to learn how to talk to yourself? Amen? You got to learn how to talk to yourself, and you got to talk to yourself in the right way. You got to speak to yourself in love. How many know sometimes the hardest person for us to get along with sometimes is ourself? Hallelujah. How many know you have to learn to love yourself as God loves you and honor the body that He's given you, honor the Christ that's in you. Hallelujah. And so Jacob is on his way. And he's pretty much living in the regret of his past. His name is Jacob at this point. He's messed up with his dad. He's messed up with his brother. He's messed up with his uncle. He's messed up with his wives and his kids. And there's a whole lot of stress and trouble there. But how many know he's on his way? But the scripture says, and the angel of the Lord met him. Now, I'm thankful for every time that the Holy Ghost does not allow me to go just on my own way and in my own direction to do my own thing. But he guides me back and he redirects my steps and he redirects my path to lead me in the path of righteousness Psalms 23 says, He will lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful and confident in the fact that even when I've got my own mindset for the day, that God is able to direct my steps in the path that He would have me be. And so Jacob finds himself in a place where he comes face to face with God. I mean, you know, sometimes in our life we have to come face to face with ourself and face to face with God. Hallelujah. Face to face with yourself and face to face with God. And he comes to a place in Genesis 32. And I'm going to jump down to verse 24, if you would. Hallelujah. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been left alone, and it's in those times of being left alone that you sometimes wish you could just turn that little button off that operates your brain? Because it won't stop. Your mind is just so consumed with things, whether it's the worries of the day or whether it's tomorrow's woes or whatever it is. There's sometimes that in our times of aloneness that we need to just, wish we could just reach up and flip that little switch off so the brain would just go to sleep for the night. Amen? But I mean, we talk Sunday night in Wednesday night Bible study about sometimes when you go in, you got to shut. He said, go into your prayer closet. And he was talking about to them about the power of prayer. And he said, when you pray, go into your prayer closet. Find yourself a secret place. Go out on the banks with a fishing pole. Get your hunting rifle and sit under the tree. Go down by the beach. Get in your car, whatever it is, but find yourself a secret place. Anybody have a secret place in here today? Just some quiet place where there's no other noise, no other voices except the voice of your beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you get in there, the scripture says, shut the door. Shut the door. I mean, sometimes you got to shut the door to some things. You got to shut the door to unbelief. You got to shut the door to your failures. You got to shut the door to yesterday's woes. You got to shut the door and clear your mind for a time of season. Because prayer is not just about how eloquent you can pray or everything you can say to God. Prayer is about being silent long enough that God can talk back to you. Now, there's where I have my trouble sometimes. I can talk to God for a very long time and tell Him everything I got on my mind. But what I really need to learn to do is be silent before Him sometime and say, all right, God, I'm just going to silence my voice because all I'm doing is ranting and giving power to things that don't need to have any power to them. And when I silence my voice and I'm quiet long enough, I'm going to give You power to speak into my life. Hallelujah. I mean, no, the more you worry about something, the more you rant over it, the more you talk about it, the more you work yourself up and you give power to that thing to be ever in your mind. Sometimes you've got to come to a place and say, you know what? I'm shutting a door to it. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not dwelling on it, but I'm going to be silent before God and give Him time to speak to me, to speak into my life. I mean, no, the Holy Ghost is always talking. You believe that? The Holy Ghost is always speaking to us. The Holy Ghost is always talking. I just not always hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying. Or sometimes I hear what the Holy Ghost is saying, and I'm trying to reason with Him. My only one in the house this morning tried to reason with the Holy Ghost and say, well, I don't know, Lord, I think it would work better like this. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to be silent, let the Holy Ghost speak. All the time you got to be silent, let the Holy Ghost speak. And so he's in a place where he's left alone. And the scripture says, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Hallelujah. You know when you're wrestling against God instead of working with Him in favor is when you get all out of joint? I say the way you know that you're wrestling against God and not flowing with Him is when you get yourself all out of joint. Now, that was a saying when I grew up that my mom would say, just don't get yourself all out of joint. You know, that meant calm down. You know, it's going to be all right. But how many know the more we wrestle with God, the more we get ourselves out of joint. The more we fight against what God's purpose and design in our life is, the more uncomfortable it becomes for us. Amen? And says he wrestled with him. And when the angel saw that he prevailed not, he touched him in the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and he was out of joint, and he as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now, I love this verse because we don't know who's speaking there. I've heard this preached both ways. He said, "Let me go." And he said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." So is Jacob saying, "Let me go," or is the angel saying, "Let me go"? But here's what I know. God's not going to let you go until you bless him. Hallelujah. You can wrestle all you want to, but he's not going to let you go until you bless him. Hallelujah. And Jacob's come to a place in his life, says, "You know what, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, till you work your purpose in my life, till you bring change to me." How many know some major changes are about to come into Jacob's life? Some major changes are about to come into his life. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Hallelujah. And the angel says to him, "What is your name? What do you call yourself? What have you named yourself? What is your name?" How many know the name Jacob means con man, trickster, deceiver, conniver? The name Jacob has been the legacy that has followed him till this point. What is your name, Jacob? What is your name? What do you call yourself? See, what we call yourself will affect how you respond when you are face to face with God. How many know when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, the scripture says, "And when they had partaken of the forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened, and they perceived that they were naked, and they hid, they were in shame, and so they hid themselves." Now, here's the deal, and here's the question. If they were naked yesterday, and they're naked today, somehow God's not too worked up about your nakedness. But the shame that came with it is what caused them to run and hide themselves from God, so that when God come visiting them in the cool of the day, he said, "Adam, where are you?" And he said, "I'm over here, Lord, but I was naked and I was ashamed and I hid myself." Hallelujah. How many know shame and regret will cause you to run from God instead of causing you to run to God? Amen. Shame and regret will cause you to run from God, or cause you to want to hide yourself in places you not ought to be. It'll cause you to hide yourself among people. It'll cause you to hide yourself. You may be seen visibly, but inside you're hiding out. Amen? And it'll cause you, what is your name, Jacob? What do you call yourself? Do you call yourself a failure? Do you call yourself a con man? Do you call yourself a trickster? What do you call yourself? How many know sometimes we got to start renaming some things? You got to call it what God calls it. When they brought that baby in of Zechariah and Elizabeth into the temple, and they said, "What you going to call this baby, Zechariah? You going to call him Zechariah Jr.?" And they said, Elizabeth said, "No, we're not calling him Zechariah Jr. We're going to call him John." They said, "You can't call him John. That's not no family name. You got to call him after his daddy. You got to call him Zechariah Jr." Zechariah said, "No, you give me a writing pad, because that baby's name's going to be John. I've been silent for 9 months now, but I'm going to tell you, the first thing that's coming out of that mouth is you're going to call that baby what God calls that baby, and he's not calling that baby what used to be. He's not calling it old order. He's not calling it barren. He's not calling it forsaken. He's not calling it lost. He's going to call him John, and he's going to prepare the way of the Lord, and he's going to usher in a new priesthood like I've never experienced, and he's going to lead us into the paths of righteousness. We're going to call it what God calls it. We're not calling it trickster. We're not calling it deceiver. We're not calling it con man. Call me what you want to call me, but I'm going to call it what God called it." They said Elizabeth brought forth a baby who they had called barren. How many know they named her barren? But there was a time when O'Baron would sing and say, call me what you want to call me, but I now have brought forth the promise of God in my life, and I will call his name Grace. I will call his name John. I will say that my God is gracious to me. The name John means the graciousness of God or grace. How many know God was about to birth grace in a way that they had never seen, had never experienced before, and he refused to allow them to call it anything other than what he had called it. Up to that time, it had been a corrupt priesthood. It had been an old order, old covenant thing, but God was about to do a new thing. Quit calling it what used to be. Quit calling it forsaken. Quit calling your kids lost. Quit calling them crazy. Quit calling it lost and situations that seem like they're out of your hands or seem like you have no control. Start calling it what God called it. He said your seed and your generations can be blessed. I'm going to call my seed what God calls them, the blessed of the Lord, the anointed of the Lord. I love to lay my hands on children and declare destiny and purpose in their life, because what people might look at and say, they're cursed or they're lost or they're forsaken, God says, I see opportunity. I see a heart. I see purpose. I see destiny. Hallelujah. And he calls it what he wants to call it. Hallelujah. And when God names it, don't you let anybody else name you anything other than what God has called you. He has called you the righteousness of God. He has called you forgiven. He has called you anointed. He has called you purposed. And he has declared his purpose over your life. Stop calling yourself by a name that is not characteristic to who you are in God. He said, my name is Jacob. He said, there's a new name written down in glory. Hallelujah. He said, him that overcometh will I grant to have a new, I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. I will rename, I'll give him a new name. Hallelujah. How many know he has given us a new name? When he changed Jacob's name, he not only changed his name, he changed his character. Hallelujah. Quit calling yourself a failure. Quit calling yourself crazy. Quit calling yourself broke. Amen? And start calling yourself what God called you. Blessed, purchased, purposed, anointed. Hallelujah, for such a time as this. He said, tell me what your name is. He said, well, everybody else calls me Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, no more conniver, trickster, deceiver, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Little did he know, he said, I'm going to name a whole nation after you. I'm going to call you Israel. I'm going to call you a prince with God. I'm going to say you have favor with God. Not only am I going to change your name, but I'm going to name a nation after you. The nation of Israel shall bear your name. Hallelujah. Because how many know it's not just about you, Jacob? It's about a promise I gave your grandpappy back some time ago that said, out of your loins, out of your barren womb of Sarah, and out of the loins of Abraham, I'm going to bring forth the nation, hallelujah, that's going to be the sands of the seas and the stars of the heavens. And Sarah heard it and threw her head back and laughed and said, how in the world can this thing be? Well, go ahead and laugh, Sarah, because you don't have nothing to do with it. When God decides he's going to do the miraculous, he's going to do the miraculous, and you might as well go ahead and laugh against him or laugh with him, but God's going to do something supernatural in your life if you allow him to. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm learning to laugh with God. Amen? I'm learning to laugh with God, not at God, and say, there ain't no way that's going to happen. Because I see things happening I never thought could happen. Amen. Hallelujah. So now I'm learning to just laugh and say, God, you just got a sense of humor. Yes. Hallelujah. Lord, you got bigger plans for me than I've allowed myself to even think. You got bigger thoughts for me than I allow myself to think. Hallelujah. Anybody in here think God thinks bigger about you than you think about yourself? Yes. Hallelujah. I think he thinks big thoughts about you this morning. He said, I'm not only going to change your name, I'm going to change your nature, and I'm going to change your walk. Hallelujah. You're not going to walk out of this place like you once did. You're not going to act like you once did when you came to this place, because you have had a face-to-face encounter with God. No longer are you going to live in the regret of your past. No longer are you going to be crippled by what labels people have put on you. But from this time on, you are going to be a prince with God, and I'm going to do miraculous things out of the house of Israel. Hallelujah. And he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power. You got power today with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Anytime that the scripture always says, why do you ask, or tell me your name, or why do you ask my name? If you go back and search it out, he says, why do you ask my name? And another scripture that says, why do you ask my name, seeing it is secret? Or another translation says, see, it is wonderful. How many know his name shall be called Wonderful, Powerful, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Go ahead, wrestle with that if you want to. Hallelujah. Go ahead and try to wrestle with that if you want to. But his name is above every name. Hallelujah. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Another one says, I saw God face to face and I didn't die. I saw God face to face and I lived through it. Hallelujah. How many know there's something powerful about a face-to-face encounter with God? Go ahead. Don't be afraid to embrace him face-to-face. Hebrews said we have a touchable high priest. He's not worried about your touch. When the woman who had an issue was worried about touching him and corrupting him and breaking the law by touching him, he said, go ahead and touch me, because your touch will not corrupt me, but the virtue that flows out of me has the power to make you every whit whole. Hallelujah. You are not going to corrupt him by touching him. You're not going to mess him up by coming face to face with God. Hallelujah. I love the Jimmy Dean commercial. Have you seen it? She tries to stare the sun in the eyes. Have you seen that commercial? She's sitting there and she tries to stare him down. He said, you know you can't look straight into the eyes of the sun. They're going to, you know, the sun's going to stare you down every time. How many know you can look face to face with God and you don't even have to turn your face away from him? He said, man, I'm going to go out of this place saying I've been face to face with God today and I live to tell about it. Hallelujah. I've been face to face with God and he didn't smite me dead. I've been face to face with God and he did something in my life. I've been face to face with God today and something changed. Hallelujah. How many know there's power in coming face to face with God? And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to come out of that place the same as you went in. I'm ready for face-to-face encounters with God where he begins to declare things to me that are so mighty and so powerful that I don't even have to understand it. I'll just say, you go ahead, God, and do what you got to do. Because your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I don't allow myself to think high enough. I don't allow myself to dream high enough. But you got bigger thoughts for me than I got for myself. Hallelujah. Anybody got some big dreams in here? Anybody got some big thoughts? Come on, somebody in here got to have some good thoughts. Hallelujah, got to have some big dreams. If you quit dreaming, you go ahead and dream again. Hallelujah, go ahead and dream again. Hallelujah, and allow God to do the great and miraculous thing in your life. Hallelujah. Quit living in your failures. Quit living in your past. Hallelujah. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Hallelujah. What I want to tell you is, if you will allow yourself to come face to face with God, you will see that there is nothing more powerful than his presence. There's nothing more powerful than his touch. There's nothing more powerful than the way you have walked to this point. But what I love about this is when Jacob left that place, he no longer walked the same way that he walked. See, that's the power of the presence of God in our life. We don't continue to walk in the same things that we once walked in, but all of a sudden we find out our walk has changed. All of a sudden we find out that things don't move just quite the same they used to do before. And that's a memorial to us that God has changed things in your life. Anybody raise your hand in here to say, God changed me when I come face to face with him. I'm not the person I used to be. He changed my walk. He changed my nature. He changed my name. He eliminated my past. No longer am I held captive to my failures as a son, my failures as a brother, my failures as a husband, my failures in my life no longer have a voice in my life because God has changed my name, change my nature, and change my walk. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know God had big things in store for Jacob in spite of his failures? What I love is when God can take your mess and make a message out of that. Now, does he need a mess for him to do that? No, he doesn't. I recommend you do it the other way around. But if you've made a mess in some areas of your life, I'm here to tell you that God can take your mess and make a message out of it and set you free from everything that has been debilitating or captive in your life. Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. Do you believe that today? God began to set him free. How many know repentance is a powerful thing? Repentance is a powerful thing. I'm closing up with this. David was in a state of regret. He was in a state of sorrow after his sins and after some things that he had done and committed. I mean, no, he was in weeping and mourning for his son. And the scripture said while he was in weeping and mourning, he laid there before God and he cried and he wept. And how many know at the end of that thing, the scripture says he stood up and washed his face and he sat at the table and he began to eat. And they said, well, you know, now that your son's dead, you're not weeping and mourning, you're eating and washing your face. He said, I did what I could do then, but today's a brand new day. How many know there's a point in your life where you stand up, wash your face, sit down to something to eat and say, that was yesterday. Today's a brand new day. Hallelujah. There's a point where you lift yourself up, dust yourself off, put on the big girl panties, do whatever it is you got to do, and say, I am not going to live in the regret of yesterday, but I'm going to look to the God. David was a man who said, I would rather to fall into the hand of God any day than to fall into the hand of my enemies, lest God will show me some mercy. Hallelujah. How many know David knew the heart of God? Hallelujah. And he said, I refuse to live in yesterday's troubles. He knew the power of repentance. He knew the power of healing. He knew the power of restoration. I want to tell you today, there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Stand to your feet with me this morning. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's as simple as being able to forgive ourselves and to receive forgiveness from God and move on out of that place. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are ready for yesterday to be done? How many are glad today's a brand new day? Hallelujah. How many are glad 2014 is a brand new year? Hallelujah. I'm looking for the miraculous. Are you? Hallelujah. Start saying things over yourself more powerful than you've ever said. Start forgiving yourself. Start expecting an expectancy of his presence to do the miraculous in your life. Hallelujah.
The steadfast love of the
time.